Good morning, this is Frank Settapani with the CBS World News Roundup. Former heavyweight boxing champion Mike Tyson walked out of prison this morning a free man and flew home to Ohio. Randall Pinkston reports from Plainfield, Indiana.
Mike Tyson, the youngest boxer ever to win the heavyweight championship and the youngest to lose it, wrapped up the toughest bout of his life at 6:15 this morning, completing 3 years of a six-year sentence for rape. More than 200 disappointed journalists could only catch a glimpse of the 28-year-old boxer, who was surrounded by bodyguards as he came out of the door with promoter Don King. Wearing a Muslim skull cap, Tyson was whisked to a nearby mosque for prayer. He converted to Islam while in prison. Prison officials said Tyson's stay here was unremarkable. Deputy Superintendent Phil Slavin said Tyson asked for no special favors and none were granted. Analysts predict that his first post-prison bout could earn him $25 to $50 million, depending on his opponent. Randall Pinkston, CBS News, Plainfield, Indiana.
Those in the know suspect Tyson's return to the ring won't happen soon. Heavyweight Frank Bruno says he'll have to work hard to get back into fighting shape.
He'll need time to bulk up again and get himself fighting fit. You can get fit as regards run 8 miles a day, do whatever, 2,100 press-ups, whatever, but putting on the gloves and sparring and getting someone to hit you is a different cup of tea.
But ex-Tyson trainer Kevin Rooney sees no reason to rule out a comeback.
His skills shouldn't have eroded because it's not like he's been out partying for 3 years. He's just really been sitting and resting. So that's a positive factor as far as I'm concerned.
Tyson will be on probation for the next 4 years. Police won't confirm it, but the Kyoto News Service reports they've found evidence that links a shadowy Japanese cult to more than a dozen nerve gas deaths. In Tokyo, Steve Herman says authorities are astonished by what they found in raids this week.
The inventory of chemicals seized at the Ohm Supreme Truth sect compound near Mount Fuji is so large, officials say, enough nerve gas could have been produced to kill millions of people. In all, 17 people have died of sarin nerve gas poisoning in Japan, 10 this past Monday in the Tokyo subways, and 7 last summer in the city of Matsumoto. Although police have yet to publicly accuse the cult, sources close to the investigation say they're positive there's a connection. Besides the chemical stockpile, there's the cult's fixation and its literature with the perils of poison gas. One leaflet passed out 2 weeks ago, called Ultimatum No. 1, warned that people would die from chemical weapons. The cult says it is not to blame for the gas attacks, but rather the United States military is responsible. Steve Herman for CBS News, Tokyo.
With government troops making progress on the battlefield with a new offensive in central Bosnia, the Bosnian Serb leader is calling for an end to the fighting and new peace talks. Radovan Karadzic issued a message he described as a last call for immediate and direct negotiations. Defense Secretary William Perry says Iraq may put 2 American civilians detained since last week on trial within the next few days. He told the PBS McNeil-Lehrer News Hour that would be out of line for their mistake of wandering over the border with Kuwait.
That would be outrageous. Absolutely outrageous. These 2 men made just a simple, innocent blunder. The humane thing to do would be to rebuke them for that and send them back home.
Baghdad has appeared to tie the Americans' fate to an easing of U.N. economic sanctions. One American diplomat at the U.N. says the U.S. now supports a plan that would let Iraq sell $4 billion of oil to pay for food and medicine. A Washington Post report provides the latest twist in a case involving the CIA and the Guatemalan military officer suspected of ordering the killing of an American hotelier and a guerrilla leader married to a Harvard law professor. The report says the CIA kept the colonel on its payroll months after it had evidence tying him to the 2 murders. No shrinking violet when it comes to criticizing Democrats. Newt Gingrich swallowed a self-administered dose of his own medicine last night. On Larry King Live on Westwood One, the House Speaker said it was crazy to negotiate the big book deal that stirred up a political hornet's nest.
I think we totally mishandled the first phase of talking about writing a book. Just totally misunderstood. I mean, I was very naive. I think, frankly, Marianne, my wife, was naive. We had a totally commercial offer. It was auctioned on the market, and they came up with a number which was crazy. I mean, no public official could be in that position.
From Capitol Hill, where the House has approved Republican welfare reforms, Rob Armstrong has the latest scorecard on Gingrich's contract with America.
Yesterday's vote on welfare reform was another win for the GOP contract. In fact, more than half of the contract has passed the House, including the balanced budget amendment and line item veto, the anti-crime bill, the unfunded mandates bill, and tort reform. James Robinson, author of the book After the Revolution, A Citizen's Guide to the New Republican Congress, says it's pretty impressive.
My assessment is that the revolution is going pretty well from the standpoint of keeping the promises made to the American people, at least in the House. But as in any dramatic policy shift, you're going to see the kind of rancor and kind of divisive debate that we're seeing in the last few days.
But the Senate has let it be known that the contract is not set in stone. The balanced budget amendment was defeated in the Senate, and welfare reform is likely to be changed substantially before it gets to the Senate floor. Promised tax cuts face difficulties in both the House and Senate, and term limits, which comes up in the House in the coming week, will likely die in the Senate if it doesn't die in the House first. Rob Armstrong, CBS News, Capitol Hill.
With Florida deputies refusing to take no for an answer, a big sweep has turned up nearly 700 deadbeat parents. State Department of Revenue Executive Director Larry Fuchs.
In one case, an individual was said not to be home but was found hiding in the shower. In another case, an individual attempted to elude capture and a police helicopter had to be brought in to locate him.
In addition to being behind on child support, about 40 deadbeats were wanted on charges as serious as robbery and assault. When the Coast Guard boarded a fishing boat 600 miles south of San Diego, it found 95 suspected illegal immigrants from Asia. Where they were from and where they were going wasn't immediately clear. So far, no charges have been filed. The software industry's latest snafu is something any homeowner could sympathize with, a stuck window. In this case, it's a flaw in Microsoft's long-awaited Windows 95 operating system that can freeze up a computer that's running several applications at once. The company says it's come up with a software fix that reduces the problem. In Chicago, one sure way to put a crowd of more than 24,000 basketball fans in a frenzy is to announce a starting lineup that includes number 45.
So glad he's back. He's doing a
city.
He's just great.
MJ, a reason to live.
Jordan scored 21 points in his first home game since coming out of retirement, but the Bulls lost to the Orlando Magic. Baseball's Atlanta Braves have been shaken by the fatal shooting of a strike replacement ball player during an apparent robbery. It happened near the team's West Palm Beach motel. 31-year-old Dave Schotsky lived in North Aurora, Illinois, near Chicago. Police say three people have been killed in a shooting on a Seneca Indian reservation 30 miles south of Buffalo. It's not clear if the incident is related to a long-running leadership dispute. In Miami, the vaudevillian who hosted the first late-night show on network television has died. Jerry Lester was 85. He presided over Broadway Open House on NBC in the 50s. It's 10 past.